Yes, the world is God's, isn't it? But we play a part in it. And I'm really excited this morning to be able to share a little bit about the vision that we have for our church. It is not something new. It is not something that we've come up with and sat down around the tables and discussed and wrestled so that we could come with it. But this is something that God has dropped in our hearts. Maybe last year, for the last couple of years, it's been on our heart. And it is a simple statement. And that statement is to see a city saved. I know some of you are excited. Some of you are thinking, is this guy dreaming? Yes, I am. And I'm dreaming out loud. And I'm saying this is what I'm dreaming because I want to believe, and I believe with God that a city is going to be saved because He says so. And also a city is going to be saved because He paid for it too. And that's the reason I'm willing to partner with Him, and I want you to partner with us too to see a city saved. I know when this thought dropped into our heart, I'm like, who are we? That's the first question that comes to you. Who are you? What's the size of your church? Where did you come from? Who do you think you are? These are the questions that come. But we wrestled with it, but it just stuck in our hearts. And so we said, no, we're going to go with it. So if anybody asks you, what is the vision of your church? You simply say, to see a city saved. Or in other words, you can actually personalize it and say, to see our city saved. And that's what we want to see. And that's the language that we want you to actually, I want it to become yours. And also I used to hate when people would say, oh, that is Sanjay's vision. No, it is not Sanjay's vision. It is our vision where we're saying, because you live in the city. Do you live in the city? Some of you are still doubtful about that. But you do live in the city, even if you're doubting, but you live in the city. And some of you have come from different other parts of New Zealand and other parts of the world. But because you live in the city, this is your city. This is our city. And we want to see God move in the city. So let's go to Psalms chapter 85, verses 6 to 9. I'm going to read that. If you have your Bibles or your phones, just look at it. Will you not revive us that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people and to His saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. So the reason that we're saying is, God, revive us. Revive us. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? And I want us to be people that we are not selfish people. That we say, I am going to rejoice, and I don't care about my neighbors. I don't care about the people in my community. I don't care about the people in my city, because they don't believe in God, so I don't care. But what I want us to start to believe is that because I'm going to be revived and I'm going to go after God, God's going to show up. And when God shows up, that my city will rejoice. The city rejoices because you rejoice. The city is saddened because you're saddened. But most of the times, or a lot of the times, what we do is, because of what's happening in the world, we get depressed. But the way it has to be is like, whatever is happening there, but because of the joy that we have, because of the relationship we have with God, the people, the society has to look to us to draw joy from us, to draw peace from us, to say that we rejoice with these people, because these people of God dwell in the city, my city is blessed. And also there has to be places in your workplace, when you're working, they have to say, turn around and say, because of this fella, my company is blessed. That's what everybody that had Joseph with him said. Potiphar said, hey, because Joseph is my slave, my household is blessed. And when he was in the prison, because Joseph, the prison guard is saying, because Joseph is in my prison is blessed. And then the king is saying, because Joseph is in my kingdom is blessed. The same thing, if people can talk, or if God can bless someone like Joseph to be a blessing to wherever he is, our God hasn't changed. He's still the same. And wherever you are, he will bless the place that you dwell in. And this is my heart's desire. And this is how I want to be known for, is because Sanjay was here. He left a trail of blessings. How cool is that? Put your name there and say, because of Richard's being here, there's been a trail of blessing. But instead of saying, oh, Sanjay being here, man, look at the mess that he left here. But instead of that, when they know, they will automatically realize when somebody is gone and there's a trail of blessing here, people will say, must be one of those Christians. But when there is a trail of destruction, we don't want people to say, oh, Christians must have gone through this place. But we want to change that. And also this morning, I was thinking when we were praying for what has happened in our nation, I said, we don't want to be known as a church. As churches, we don't want to be known for what we stand against, but I want us to be known for what we stand for. What we stand for is for the love of God. And the Bible also says people will know that you're mine because of the love that you have for one another, us. When we do that, people in the world will say, whoa, those Christians, man, I wish and I love when they walk through my place because they're going to leave a trail of blessing. So we are saying, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. We're saying, God, we want to see your glory in this land. To see a city saved, maybe one of us, some of us may ask this question. I ask my question too. Ask this question to say, why? Why do we want to see a city saved? Why do we want us to see a city saved? Because if you look around, you'll see that a lot of stories, or some of us have come through those stories. Maybe we're going through some of those stories. And the reason that you and I are still, I'm still standing here is because of God. If it wasn't for God, I don't know where I would be, if I would be still alive or not. But it is only because of the goodness of God that I'm still alive. And I'm sure that you think the same way too. But there are some stories that you can think of people in our community. There's a lot of violence. There is a lot of drug, sex, and alcohol. And there is all these betrayals. There's all these heartaches that are happening in our world. And I saw men are struggling to meet the needs of their families. When men struggle with meeting the needs of the family, suddenly you feel like you're a failure because we as men are created to be people who provide and protect. When that is taken off of me, I am completely vulnerable. And because I'm vulnerable, I don't know any other way to react but to react violently because I don't know how to deal with things. So I will bash someone who is weaker than me. Could be my wife, my partner, my children, someone around me, and I will actually dish out my frustration on the people that are around me. There is that hurt in them. To numb the pain, we go to alcohol, drugs, or sex, and all these sort of things. And there are women who are not able to, who, because there's no provision, they're feeling like, I am not able to provide to my family. There's something wrong here. Because as a woman, you want to be a nourishing one. When that is taken off of you, you are like, whoa, what is happening to me? What is happening? And you look for alternative ways of trying to meet ends. And then you beg, borrow, steal, and that's not the way that God wants you to live. And we have seen children that have gone through hunger. We have seen children go through abuse. And we've heard of stories of children who are completely, their minds are completely screwed because they have seen violence in the family, violence that maybe some of us have never seen. Moms beaten up or people around them, their brothers and sisters so badly beaten up their vision for life is completely screwed. And there are some children who move from house to house to house to house, and there is nothing to say that they're theirs. And there is nothing to say that they belong to anybody. There's so much of hurt out there. And as I said, when we cannot deal with it, we will lash out. Or the other alternative that the devil comes and tells you is you're not good enough, so you don't have to live here. Wow. You have to be gone. Wow. And that creates suicide. And you know, we are in the top few nations in the world in the percentages of suicide. There is no reason for that to happen, but it is happening right now. These statistics are right now statistics. But we don't need to see that happen. But with all of that said, what I am going to say to you is, because you are here, because I am here, living in this nation, we are saying, God, this is not good. This is not good, and we want to see something happen in this nation, in my city, in my community, in my home, in my place. Most importantly, something needs to happen in my life. So we need to say, God, if I need to see a city saved, if I need to see a community saved, if I need to see a neighbor saved, if I need to see a home saved, it has to start from me. So this morning, I'm going to put it out to you. I'm going to be pretty blatant, because this is not to you. I'm challenging myself. And I'm saying, I need to revive. And that's the reason it says, God, aren't you going to revive me? But some of you may say, I've been there, done that. Oh, I've seen all of this. But no. I want to say, no. We're going to see another move of God. We want to see another move of God. We want to see God revive me, revive us. The reason everything that is happening out in the world is because Satan hates everything that God has ordained. That's the reason God has ordained family. So what does he do? He wants to break families. God has ordained marriage. So what does he do? He wants to break marriage. God has ordained marriage between a woman and a man. What does he do? He wants to break that. God has ordained these things, these structures, but in the middle of all of this, Satan hates God, so he wants to break everything that God has ordained. But God has given us the responsibility to make sure that that ordination, that ordinance that he has given, is kept up. So you and I need to be people who are saying, God, I'm serious about you. I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian, whatever you say, maybe 6 months, 6 days, 6 years, 60 years, doesn't matter what we're saying. Hey, God, I'm serious about you right now at this point of time. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, this is Jesus saying, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. It's when it says poor, it is not poor financially, it is poor in spirit. Whoever hasn't got God in them, they are poor in spirit. So we're saying, preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to announce that captives shall be released and the blind shall see, that the downtrodden shall be freed from their oppressors, and that God is ready to give blessings to all who come to him. How will someone come to him if they don't know where to go? So your responsibility and my responsibility is this. We are saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Of course, Jesus said that, but also we are saying this morning, we are saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to share the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce that captives shall be released and the blind shall see, that the downtrodden shall be freed from their oppression, and that God is ready to give blessings to people. But before we do any of this, you and I need to say, God, will you not revive me? Will you not revive me? So we need to say this morning, I need you to revive me, God. And that's my heart's cry. I'm saying, God, you need to do something in my heart. You need to do something in my heart. If God doesn't do something in my heart, everything that I do is just a show off. I'm doing things for the sake of doing. But when he touches my heart, something happens, and what I do is not something that I conjure, but it comes from God. So we need to be revived. A couple of weeks back, my cousin, who was she traveled to Africa to be with her husband because they do some ministry in Africa. So she went there. She's just a little bit older than me. She went there, and they stopped for a toilet break on the roadside. Of course, that's what you do in Africa now. Every other nation rather than us. It was getting a bit dark. They stopped by, and then her husband turned around to fetch something from the car, and then turned around, and she was flat. She was flat on the floor, flat on the ground. And then he tried to wake her up. He said, hey, what happened? Completely cold. She fell. And then turned around, she was bleeding. She was completely knocked out. And the thing is, she was completely knocked out, but thank goodness she was revived. He could pick her up. Her husband picked her up, put her in the car, and rushed her to the hospital. And there, thank God for doctors in Africa. So they revived her. She's alive, but lots of cuts and bruises and all those sort of things. But she's alive. So what happens is when you are knocked off spiritually too, we sometimes feel like she was okay. She traveled from India to Dubai to this place, and then boom, she was knocked off because she had some issues with her body, and then she was completely knocked off and she fell. So the word revived, but she was revived. She fainted, but she revived. The word revive in Hebrew, the Hebrew word for revive is C-H-A-Y-A-H, chaya, whatever you say that. Meaning to bring back to life, to restore consciousness. Like physical symptoms, there are some spiritual symptoms that tell us that we need to be revived. So when you're knocked unconscious, you need to be revived. Somebody works on you and revives you. The same way, spiritually too, there are times when we are completely knocked unconscious, or maybe we're on the verge of it. We're sitting there and we don't even have a clue. These notes I've taken from Pastor Kim Price. Some of the spiritual symptoms are complacency, self-satisfaction, or happy with the status quo. And in his words, this is what I love. When I take somebody else's notes, I can just tell as is and say that they're saying it. And they say, if you're a pew warmer, that's not a good sign. So just wanted to say that. That is Kim Price, by the way. I would say that too. Don't rock the boat is another one. Oh, we're doing well. Why do we have to do this? We're doing good. Our finances are good. Our bills are paid. We're good. Don't rock the boat. I'm a seat warmer. I'm good. I come once in a while. The chairs are comfy. It's nice. The temperature is nice. There's a good coffee. I'm good with that. That's a symptom. Lack of concern for the lost and the suffering. When you see the news, is it like, another one of those? Or when you saw it on Friday, was it like, oh, you were just about, it was supposed to happen. If not today, tomorrow, or in the next few years. That's meant to happen. Is that what it is? Covering some of our secret sins, the things that we struggle with, we just cover up and we put on a mask and we like, cool. I'm a good Christian. Bible under my arm. Having unforgiving spirit. I can't forgive. Filled with pride. I'm better than others. Animosity towards other Christians. Backslidden condition. This is another one that I like. Where we are now is less than where we were before. Is backsliding. Oh, I'm not a backslider. Somebody said many, many, many years back, it says Christian life, Christian walk is as a car going uphill without brakes. You can only go up. You can't stop anywhere, because if you don't keep moving forward, you're going to slide back. They're thinking, oh, I'm just going to take a break. Really? I'm just not going to be so intense, because I've given a lot of years to God. I'm just going to take a break. Doesn't work. My opinion, but you can work it out. But now we want to say is we need a personal revival, individually getting right with God. I am just posing these questions to you. I am not saying that this is what you have to do or that's what you have to do, but I'm posing a question and saying, hey, are you where you were of yesterday? Are you where you were last week? Or are you where you were when you first got born again? Because that's what Jesus said to the church. He said, you lost your first love. You know, you're doing great work. You're doing some awesome work. You're great with community. You're doing all of this, but you have lost your first love. So that's the question to you and to me, and says, have I lost my first love? Sometimes when it is 35, 40 years, you lose that first love. But also in marriage, I'll be married 30 years. This December, yeah. And people say, oh, yeah. But actually, I say, I really enjoy it now rather than when I first got married. Because I was trying to figure out everything. And I was trying to figure out who she was. She was trying to figure out who I was. And we were on from different planets and we're trying to work it out. But now I'm saying, yeah, she knows me. I know her. We make sure that we don't come in each other's ways. It's really good. As the days go by, as the relationship grows stronger, you actually seem to enjoy what you're doing. So God says, I need your first love. Personal revival, individuals getting right with God. Then the family revival, families getting back to the place they need to be. Simple things. It's up to you. What do you think you need to make a change in your family life, family structure? I will leave that for the Holy Spirit God to speak to you. Church revival, to be doing the work Christ ordained. One of them is going to all the world and preach the gospel. Now we don't have to go to all the world. You just need to go downtown. You don't need to buy expensive tickets to go to Asia or Africa. You want to reach out to the world? Go downtown. Stand there. Look around. Man, you will see every nation on Queen Street. Every nation on Queen Street. You just go there and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? Maybe God will talk to you. But for us to revive, I'm going to finish off with these three things. For us to actually get to where God wants us to be, the first thing that we need to know is that our identity, who we are, who we are. This is the awesome thing. When Jesus got baptized, when he came out of the water, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, you can read it in Matthew chapter 3 and also in Luke chapter 3, it says, this is my son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. But the amazing thing about it is by then, Jesus did not do even a single miracle. Jesus did not do any ministry. Jesus did nothing. He was just his son. So God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. For the last few weeks, that's what I've been talking about. And I said, you are special. You are a child of God. So you and I need to know our identity in Christ. And that identity is not, I am a pastor, I am a prophet, I am a so-and-so. But it is, I am a child of God. He is my father, and I am. Can you add this to that, please? And can you say, I am his beloved son? I am his beloved daughter? Just don't say, I'm a humble little child of God. I'm really not, I'm happy in the corner and I can do this. No. You could be in the corner, you could be anywhere. You are His beloved child. It is not based on what you have achieved, but it is based on who your Father is. Your Father is the creator of this universe, and He said, you are my child, you are my beloved. But the thing is, the devil, the next chapter, 4, Luke chapter 4, when Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted, He is tempted. And you know what? The devil drops off the beloved in it, and he says, if you are the child of God. He doesn't say, if you are the beloved child of God. He drops the beloved off of it, and he says, if you are the child of God, do this. If you are the son of God, do this. The same thing. If he has challenged Jesus, he's going to come and challenge you. Who do you think you are? You're one of those billion people just in India. Who are you? Who do you think you are? English is not your first language. Who do you think you are? You want to see a city set? Who? What? If. But it says, no, I am a beloved child of God. Can you say that to yourself? Say that, please, with conviction. Please don't be the little child. Say it. I am. You say it after me to point to yourself, please. I am the beloved child of God. We'll say that again. I am. With a little bit of conviction, please. You can say, I'm not a child. Who does he think he is? Yes, I think I'm the pastor of this church. I'm telling you, do it. No, I am the beloved child of God. Out of that identity comes intimacy. Many times we think out of intimacy comes identity. Because the devil has screwed it up. Even now, the thing is, even in a physical relationship amongst girls and boys, we think, oh, because I'm intimate with this person has become my beloved. No, wrong. Because this person is my beloved, I am intimate with them. That's how God works. It is not out of intimacy that you know that you're beloved, but you know that you're beloved. That's the reason you get into an intimate relationship. And that's what it is. God says, because of the identity that you have, you become intimate. And that's where Jesus is always saying, He's my Father. He's my Father. He's my. If my Father doesn't tell me, I'm not going to do it. Whatever He says, I'm going to do it. And that is only out of knowing who He is in God. If you need the praise of man, you will always be defeated by the rejection of men. If you need people to celebrate you, you will be destroyed when they criticize you. So, the Father made a proclamation over Jesus' life that He was a beloved Son. When Jesus is in the desert, that's what happens. He says, He's my beloved. And He hasn't changed. The reward of Christianity is not heaven, but rather restored relationship or intimacy with God. So when you know that you are His beloved, there is intimacy. You know that God is on your side, that God is your Father. I told my sons when they were young, if they got in trouble, I said, you need to call me. I said, there is no one in this world who's going to love you more than I do. I'm going to give you a hiding, most likely. But at the end of the day, I will stop from any more trouble. I will fix it. If you ran into someone, I'm going to pay for the insurance. I'm going to pay for it. If you have punched someone, I'm going to get you out of the prison. If you've done something, I'm going to get you out of the prison, but I'll put you back in the prison in my house, but I'm going to get you out of that one. That's me. If that's me, with all my insecurities and with all the limited resources, think of what God does for you when He gives His name to you and He says, you are my child, my beloved child. And when He does that, He is not like man that He should walk away when He thinks that you have fallen out of His favor. you can't fall out of the favor of God because it is so huge. Even if you fall back into his favor. Fall forward, you fall into it. You fall sideways, it's so big, you just fall in. When you stand in the sea, and if you're like me, you're just pedaling in because I can't swim. So you do, and then I trip and fall. What am I going to do? I'm going to fall in the sea. And you suddenly think when I trip and fall, oh, how come I'm on the land? No, I'm in the sea. The same way, when you fall, when God says you are his child, beloved child, when you muck up a little bit, you're going to fall in his arms. Doesn't matter where you are, what you've done. So, identity, know that God is your father, and he says you're beloved. Out of that comes intimacy, and out of that comes a great impact. A great impact. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20, 21. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory to the church, in the church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. King James Version 3:21, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or even think or imagine, according to the power that works in us. Because of what God has done, because of the way he calls you and me, you are his beloved. Because of the identity that he has given you, you have intimacy with God. Because of the intimacy that you have with God, you have an amazing impact in your world. Wherever you're working, doesn't matter what you're doing, it's going to be amazing. John chapter 1 verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. This is Jesus. He says, nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. See, these are the verses that we need to get a hold of. We need to grab a hold of. And you shall make a mistake. You shall fall. And as I said, always remember when you fall back in the favor of God. That doesn't mean that you go and do whatever you feel like doing. But out of intimacy, you do what God tells you to do. So in closing, I want to say, do you really believe that you are his beloved? This is the question that only you can answer. And if your answer is no, you need to read the scriptures once again. Because I want every one of you, when you walk out of the door, that the answer has to be, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe that I am his beloved, not because of what I've done, but what, because of what he has done. That's what it is. Because of that identity that God has given me, I will walk in an intimate relationship with God. I will walk in an intimate relationship with God because of who he is for me. Because it's my dad, I'm gonna listen to my dad. I'm gonna look at my dad, do things as my dad would do. And out of that comes impact. So in closing, because we're talking about a city being saved, and we're also saying, as in the first video I said, let's do it together. We had this concept many years back, or maybe even now we have this concept. We're going to see a city saved through evangelists. Are we going to bring Reinhard Bonnke or someone like that, and we're going to see a city saved? Are we going to get so-and-so to see this? No, 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 no. The way that the city is going to be saved is with you and with me. You and me, you and me, you and me, all of us together. Because your world is your world. I cannot get into your world. You cannot get into my world. In my world, I've got influence. In your world, you got influence. So use that influence to impact your world. So in leaving you this morning, I want to say, what is the pain of your city? Have you thought of it? What is the pain of your city? Maybe some of you are thinking, I can't think about the pain of the city because the pain of my life is so heavy. God wants to heal you. God wants to touch you. But also God wants to know, what is the pain of your city? What is the lostness of your city? What is the brokenness of your city? Know this, you are not the savior of the city. You're just the bearer of the good news, but the Savior is Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Just for the next few moments, just say, God, revive me. Revive me. Speak to 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 me this morning. Speak to me this morning. I'm not going to go out of this place, oh God, empty. I'm not going to go out of this place, oh God, with a doubt if I am your child or not. I'm going to walk out of this place knowing fully well and complete boldness that I am your beloved. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what my dad says, what my mom says, what my brothers say, what my sisters say, what people around me say about me. But I'm going to completely believe that I'm your beloved because you say so. Because he's the only authority. He has the authority. He's the only one who's got the authority to call you the way he wants to call you. And he has chosen to call you his beloved. So that's who you are. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Take a few moments. If you want to close your eyes. If there's something that God's saying to you, just put it down. Put it. Just get it in. What is it that God wants you to do?